Good evening on both sides. Thank you for joining us this evening. Tonight we're going to continue our discussion of the bracha of Shachrianu, but we're asked, the last year was Shachrianu on fruit, and on fruit that are not necessarily new, but they're around all year, or because they're in either because they're in refrigeration or because they're imported. That was last week. Today's bracha of Shachrianu, today's shir on Shachrianu, is going to be entirely new, no pun intended. And that is going to be on a very geshmaka sugya of, does one say Shachrianu when he turns 70 years old, or she turns 70 years old? And Bezus Hashem will continue with, does one make a bracha on the birth of a grandchild? Today we are fortunate to celebrate the birth of Mr. Gold's grandson, so did he have to make a Shachrianu? And from that we'll go into the more fundamental question, what about the birth of a child? Does one say Shachrianu? So the discussion of bracha Shachrianu, when a person turns 70, is no earlier than a Chavas Yair. Chavas Yair, who is relatively early, he was a good 250 years ago or so, maybe more. Chavas Yair says the following. Nearly, source number one, Chavas Yair Simanayin, Nashas Achuvas. Nearly. Now, the context of the Chavas Yair is not talking about Shachrianu, but he's talking about what celebrations constitutes Seudos Mitzvah. In the context of talking about what is a Seudos Mitzvah, what's not a Seudos Mitzvah, various riots throughout all of Shas, he says the following. If a person has a nes occur to him, and they want to make a Seuda yearly, or somebody who donates a Sefer Torah, those might all be Seudos Mitzvahs. Similarly, let's say there's a siyum. Chabur shalom demiachah kishagam sefer. That's a Seudas Mitzvah. Now we get to the second line. Seudas ben shivim. Sheyesh lehis tapik. He wonders, in terms of, is this considered a Seudas Mitzvah? Afilu zeha ben shivim avarech shechiyanu. Even if we would say, kikach nirali, even if though it seems to me that a person turned 70 would say a shechiyanu, nevertheless, that doesn't necessarily show that it's a Seudas Mitzvah. It's not, it doesn't need to be Shiyah Seudas Mitzvah. And therefore, you should give Divrei Torah and try to elevate it to a Seudas Mitzvah. So in the context of this other discussion, Seudas Mitzvah, you see that he does assume that when a person turns 70, it would warrant saying a Shachrianu. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. I haven't until I saw this Chavas Yair. And the Prima Gadim is in agrees to most of you. The Prima Gadim also talking about in Simantaf Mem Dalet is also talking about what constitutes a Seudas Mitzvah, and he talks about Seudas Ben Shivim Shana. And then in parentheses, he says, "Oh, and by the way, you know that Chavas Yair, because of Shama Chavas Yair Shemivarish Shechianu, and what are the last two letters?" Says the Prima Gadim, "I don't understand why. V'tzarech Ian, where did he get that from?"
So,
so what would you say? Why? Yeah, we're going to see that soon. Why shivim? Because the pasuk says that you may that a person lived for 70 years. You may not say about shivim shana. So a person reached the full. We have to say this in a nice way. The person reached the full. The full life expectancy, the time of David HaMelech. Then maybe that is worthy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have reached this incredible stage of having reached a fullness, a certain level of fullness in their life experience. But now let's look at this sefer, which I've never seen before, but it was quoted, and therefore he talks about some fascinating things. The Shas HaShuvos HaFarkasa Daniya. In the end of this, he's going to talk about birthday parties in general, which is always a geshmaka topic to have some random marmakamas about birthday parties, because they do come up at least every year.
Hopefully.
And depending on your family, it can be more than that. Alvar bircha shechianu b'yom los shivim. So the shaila was, should a person say shechianu? And the shoal apparently assumed that you should say it with shemu malchus. Says the Afarkasa Da'aniya in Chel Gavsum and Kuchav Gimel, Hein Emes at the end of the first line, it's true that the Chavas Yaris says, and from the Stam Lashon of the Chavas Yaris, it sounds like you should make B'Shem Malchus. Nevertheless, Karkasa B'Shiyure Bracha, Divarek B'Lo Shem Malchus. Even if you're going to make that Shechiano when a person turns 70, Better not to say Shem Hashem. Why? Because where does it first appear? In the Chavos Yair. Right? Kevin Dilo Huzka B'Shas V'Poskim. So if it's not Huzka B'Shas V'Poskim, don't make a Shachiyon on it. Don't make a Shem, I'm sorry, a Shem Umachas on it. Especially, since whenever we deal with Shachiyonos, we're always a little bit more nota to avoid them saying Shem Hashem, as the Rama says, certainly here. Now listen to what he says. He says a gevaldige svara. We were assuming that there's a tremendous shachiyano, a tremendous hodah that a person says when he reaches 70 years old. Look at what he says now. Look at the svara that he says. What's the mechayiv of shachiyano? We saw last week a machlokas, Balamor and Rashba. If the Mechayiv, the Baal HaMor says the Mechayiv of the Shachiyonu is the Simcha, and therefore something like Sfiras HaOmer, says the Baal HaMor, which is sad, we're commemorating the loss of the Beis HaMikdash where we used to bring the Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore you don't see a Shachiyonu or Sfiras HaOmer because the Mechayiv is the Simcha. And the Rashba argued. And the Rashba said, what's the Mechayiv of Shachiyonu? Not Simcha, but To'eles, gain, benefit. And that's why, if a person dies and leaves over Yerusha, what will his Yoresh say? After he says Dayan HaEmes, he'll say Shechar, not because he's happy, but because he got a gain. There was a benefit, there was a toeles, there was some financial gain. Well, do either of those svaras apply when a person got to 70? At least if he goes with the route that the Baal HaMor was taking, he says, when a person gets to 70, why, that's all of a sudden a reason to be overjoyed? Maybe. He'll be more contemplative, and skip right after the underlined lines. What happened when he got older? When he got older, he started crying and he said, "What am I going to do? I have so many mitzvahs that I had to do." If that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's attitude to reaching advanced age, certainly. Certainly the little flies on the wall like us, we should certainly wonder if we fulfilled our responsibilities in this world when we get to that point. So therefore, is there simcha? Why would you make a bracha if there's no simcha? And then he continues after the three dots. Maybe you just want to express hakaras hatov for having reached this point. Shechiyanu, right? Literally, shechiyanu. Vim lahodos Hashem yisparach al shechiyanu ad ko, that he gave his life till thus far. Well, what does that have to do with reaching 70? And Chazal say, I'll call Neshima v'Neshima. And every day we say, Amach Neshama Zafgar Mesa. We say, we thank Kodesh Baruch for our life every day. And therefore, Shechiyonu Eina Elu B'Makam Simcha, even though he says, look at the underlying line, Rafi shows us through this Hodah, even though the Prima Gondim that we saw in the previous source, all the Prima Gondim says is that we should make a Shechiyonu. But he agreed that it would be a Sudas Mitzvah, or at least a Sudas Hodah, Sudas Mitzvah. So it could be there is a reason to make a Sudas Hodah when a person reaches 70, and maybe it might even be considered a Sudas Mitzvah, because it's a Sudah of thanking Hashem. But to say Shechiyonu, the Mechayev has to be Simcha, and he doesn't understand, this posek, what the Simcha should be. So I did a little research who this Shaz Hashu Zafar Kesada Aniya is, and apparently it's somebody named Rav David Ben Rav Baruch Kalman Sperber, who was apparently the Gadol of Romania before the Holocaust, and he was the main posek in Romania after the Holocaust, when they had all the Gunashilas from the Holocaust. He was one of the big go-to men in at least in Romania. He made Aliyah in 1950, died in 1962. Thank you to the Bar Ilan for his biography. So, you mentioned before that there is some reason, perhaps, when a person reaches certain birthdays, that maybe there is something special. V'yesh lomar smach min Moed Katan Chavches, in the next paragraph. The story in Moed Katan is Rav Yosef, when he turned 60, he taka made a Yom Tov L'Rabbanan. He made a party. Why? Because Amar nafkili mikareis. The fact that I got to 60 shows that I am not a bar kareis. But still, all you see from that story is that you should make a party, you should thank Hashem, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should recite a Shechiyanu. It's a different mechayiv than making a Sudas hoda'a. And then look at the last paragraph, right before source number four. Then he adds, as an aside, what did he have in the Torah from the Chasam Sofer? V'agav, ask him at Shemasasi from the Chasam Sofer, De'ein li'Yisrael loch yom l'adato. Right, you know there's a famous story. Who was it from? Was it the mother of the Brisker Rav or the mother of Reb Chaim? I remember one of the somebody from the Brisk dynasty said some comment to his mother about a birthday party. His mother said the only birthday party that you see in Chumash is Paro's birthday party. By Yom Hulad, it says Paro, something like that. So the Chasam Sofer Taka says it's not a Jewish thing to make a birthday party. If anything, Kiyim, it's Yom Shah, second to last line of source number three. Kiyim, if anything, it's Yom Shenechos B'Ris Shel Avraham Avinu. However, he concludes that there is a minhag olam shi'as adam suda b'yom shalano. There is a minhag taka to make a birthday party, he concludes. But apparently Chasam Sofer was not so, didn't really understand why. Either way, it sounds the Prima Gadim rejects the Chavos Ya'ir. The Afarak Sadania says he doesn't understand why you should, because it doesn't necessarily, it shouldn't, the fact that your person gets to be 70 years old, that's not a reason to be overjoyed. And finally, Paskins at Tzitz Eliezer, he says when he quotes the Shiuri Bracha that we saw quoted earlier, who says that you shouldn't say Shema Malchus. And then he quotes at the end the Tzitz Eliezer, the second paragraph of the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yidches Siman Lamed Gimel, he quotes Sefer Yishri Leib, which was from one of the Rishon LeZion's. Rishon LeZion doesn't necessarily mean the chief rabbi of Israel. Rishon LeZion was the name that they gave the greatest Talmud Chacham the greatest Iraqi Talmud Chacham, I think. And then when they came to Eretz Yisrael, so the Sephardi chief rabbi ended up being called the Rishon LeZion. I think that's the history of that title. So I'm not sure if this Sefer Baal HaNediv Leiv, the Rishon LeZion, is necessarily one of the previous chief rabbis, or it's from the old country. What's the proper thing to do when a person reaches 70? Because they don't want to get into the Shiloh. Should I say with Shema Machos? Should I not say with Shema Machos? Therefore, when you have your 70th birthday party, when your kids and your grandchildren make your 70th birthday party, what should you do? You likach min agnach and likach beged chadash or pri chadash ulevarech lotzei sidei chavaso. And taka, this is what the Rishon Tzion nag ba'atzmo. And therefore, that would be the best solution to avoid any shilas of Shema Malchus, to just have a fruit or a new beged such that they could make a bracha. That's the end of the first part of this shir in terms of turning 70. That's our halacha l'maisa. A person should make a party, and a person should get some fruit to say shachianu b'shem malchus to be yotze the chavos yair. But if he doesn't have fruit, so say it, but without shem malchus to be choshish for the prima gadim. Let's begin the next story. The next story in the spirit. I didn't see anything to indicate that any other significant birthday should get a special party. Yes, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that each of the 10-year marks mark something significant, but if you look in there, it's not always positive. Shmonim is gurus, that's a nice one. But as you get higher and higher, they're not always flattering. Yeah, I heard the minhag of 83 is second bar mitzvah. I have no idea where that's from. So I don't know. Yeah, 70 plus 13, so I don't know where that gets from. It's certainly another excuse to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, Hodah is always called for, but Shachianu, that's a different story like we saw, because that may have a mechayiv of having of a simcha in that.
The caterers.
Yeah, the caterers like that. Let's talk about the next issue. So last week, the Powerball reached 1.5 billion, right? And there was a rumor that one of Shlomo Rechnitz's, who's famous and for other reasons this past week, one of Shlomo Rechnitz's employees, Shlomo Rechnitz bought 18,000 tickets, one for each of his employees. That means he has 18,000 employees? That sounds ridiculous. But okay, but even if you have a lot of nursing homes. Okay, but still, 18,000 employees sounds like a lot of people. That's all I can say. It's like a small town. I mean, that's a medium-sized city. So he bought it, and apparently one of his employees apparently thought they won, And then it came that coming clear afterwards that the numbers were wrong and they didn't win. So the poskim, believe it or not, asked this exact question. Exact. If you won the lottery and you made a shechianu, and then you realized that you got the numbers wrong, was it a bracha levatala? Was it a bracha levatala? And we're going to see soon four other nafkaminas to that exact same shaila. They're not such great nafkaminas, but we'll see that shaila with a few other applications. But before we start, why in the world would a person in the first place recite a shechianu for winning the lottery? I think we'd all feel that we want to say a shechianu, but once we're in the world of halacha, what would be the mechayev? The mechayev would be taka, the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5, in Aruch Chaim Reish Chaf Beis, the beginning of Reish Chaf Beis, Sif Aleph. Al Shmuos Shehem Tovos Lo Levado Mevarei Shechianu. When you hear good news that relate to yourself, there is a bracha of Shechianu. Now, the sign that we haven't mentioned yet, but it's important to realize, Shechianu has a sister bracha. What I mean by that is that whenever you experience some positive benefit that doesn't apply only to yourself, but applies to you as well as other individuals, in addition to yourself, then you don't say Shechianu, rather, continues the Shulchan Aruch, Vimhein Tovos Lo Vile Acherim, there are good things for you as well as for other people as well who also benefit. Mevarech HaTov HaMeitiv. That's the din. Shechianu is for yourself, and it's HaTov HaMeitiv for numerous people. If a person inherits a Yerusha for themselves, they're their only child, they say Shechianu. If there are numerous children, they say HaTov HaMeitiv. Now, what about a permutation as follows? What happens if you get something good, but you know that it's going to end up being bad? For example, what happens right after you win the lottery? So people try to kidnap you. Okay? They find out that this is a poor guy living in some really bad neighborhood. And all of a sudden he loses the lottery, so the people next door are going to, kidnap him or who knows what. So he won the lottery, but he knows it's only going to be bad for him. Or, okay, that will be the example. Now, let the Shulchan Aruch talk for itself. The Shulchan Aruch, in source number 6, Reish Chaf Beis, Sif Dalid, says, that which you're mevarich al hatova, hatova meitu, when something good happens, afal pi sheyare shema yavolo ra'am imenu, even though you're concerned that in the end result it will end up being bad for you, gon shematza metzia, v'yare shema yishma lamel, yishma lamel, v'yikukala shalom. Let's say you find the king's crown. And he finds out you had the king's crown and you didn't. He's going to take you, he's going to throw you in jail, and he's going to... So you're happy you found the king's crown. You got a $100,000 crown, $100 million crown. But now he's going to throw you in jail because he found that you have his crown, so it's going to end up being bad. So you still say, Hatov HaMeitiv. Now, while we're here, let's just see a fabulous Ramah. What happens if you have the opposite? Something terrible happens, but you know that's going to be good. For example, you get flooded out in Sandy. But what's going to happen when you get your federal payments and your insurance payments? You're going to be able to build yourself a big, beautiful house. I just heard a story a few weeks ago that there's somebody in the Five Towns whose house got wiped out during Sandy, and they built themselves a gigantic mansion, and the mansion was so big that they couldn't even afford to pay the taxes according to the new assessment on this gigantic house that they built from their payments from Sandy. So you say Dayan HaEmes when you hear that your house is destroyed, but you know that you're going to end up with a beautiful mansion afterwards. Do you say Dayan HaEmes if you know you're going to end up with that? Says the Ramah on the bottom of page number 1. V'chei mevarech al ha'ra baruch Dayan HaEmes af al pi sheyavo lo tova mimenu. For example, let's say a person's field is washed away. The crop is washed away by some flood. But he knows that his field, because of this flood, is going to be very well watered and irrigated, and he's going to have great crops going forward. It's going to be good for him. Still, you should say Dayan HaEmes because of that which the person suffered. And I just couldn't help but to quote the Mishnah Berurah on that line of the Shulchan Aruch. Look at this line of the Shulchan Aruch. Top of page 2, please look at the words. I don't want to tell it to you. It's just so incredibly, what an incredible lesson it is for the world of Shiduchim. Says the Mishnah Berurah. And this just shows you how tzaddik like the Chavetz Chaim thinks. Somebody, shehuchrach machmas aniyuso lakachas isha ashira. A person is so poor, he had no choice but to marry a rich girl. It's the worst thing in the world. He doesn't want to marry a rich girl. Stay away from rich. And Nebuch, he has to marry a rich girl. He's because he's just so poor. So what is it? What bracha does he make? On one hand, he got himself a rich girl. He's gonna live a nice lifestyle. On the other hand, Oyvei, look how terrible it is. He had to marry a rich girl. I'm not going to say it on the tape. Says the Mishnah, Brura Mivarech HaTov HaMeitiv V'dayan HaEmes. You see, the Chavetz Chaim says that because he was forced to marry this rich girl, he has to say Dayan HaEmes. It's just an incredible, I couldn't help but not quoting you. It's such an incredible perspective. And
in that order?
Yes, in that order. It sounds, the Mishnah Berurah sounds like this in the audience. Yeah, Tova Meitiv because you won the lottery. And Dynamis because Nebuch, you were forced to be in such a situation of being married to a rich girl. It's again, I'm not, no, it's just incredible to see this Mishnah Berurah. What? That was the Mishnah Berurah on the line we just said. On this Ramah that we just learned, that if a person has something bad that will ultimately be good, he says both brachas, right? Like with the Hurricane Sandy washed away your house. The top line on page number 2. Very top line, page number 2. That one-liner is from the Mishnah Berurah. Now, let's talk in the most, based on that background, in terms of a person who had a gain and then had a loss, and a gain that brings a loss, or a loss that brings a gain, and in general, the fact that you're supposed to make a shachiyona when you do hear good news, what's going to be the deal with this case in California with Shlomo Rechnitz's employee who thought she won the lottery? So look at how clear this Shiloh was discussed in the Ksav Sofer's son, the Chasam Sofer's grandson's Tshuvas of Shiloh Tshuvas Hisaru's Tshuva. Harabi Iton, somebody who sees in the paper, nowadays we don't need papers, we have more immediate sources of knowing if we won the Powerball. Shezacha Bahagrala, he won the lottery. Ubir Chatov Ametiv, Vachachach Roshata. Then he realized that he made the mistake. Ihave Brach Levatala. What? So let's see this tshuva, and then we'll see in source number 8, 4 nafkaminas, whether or not it was considered brach levatal or not, and there's going to be a very significant application, as we'll see soon, Yitzchak Zilberstein, in source number 8, says, I'll tell you right now, a frightening nafkamina. We're going to learn soon, the next section of the shiur will be, what about a child? Do you say shachiyano? We're going to see that there's you say shachiyano on the birth of a child. What happens if there's a doctor who's delivering a baby, and the doctor knows that the baby has some terrible disease, disfiguration, other kind of very sad genetic whatever? Now, the doctor might not want to tell them the second the baby's born. Why? Because how will the mother and father have an attachment? They won't be able to have that initial attachment to their child. And therefore, a doctor might purposely want to wait at least a few minutes to allow that attachment, that the parent shouldn't just, want to push the child away, but at least to create some kind of bond. And then, after there's a bond, then let them know that they'll have to deal with whatever their situation is. So what is he going to have to, this doctor, who is in this terrible dilemma, he has a frum lady giving birth, and a frum, husband is going to say a bracha, and he knows that really, in such a case, maybe Shechinah should not be recited. So would he be mechayev? This is the answer to your question. What's the difference? If you said it already, it's a bracha levatala. Who cares? You did it already. The answer would be, if it's a bracha levatala, if it's a simcha that you end up finding later that it's not really a very sad thing, maybe that if it's a bracha latala, if this is from the doctor delivering this baby, maybe Hitaka should forget his, medical and his psychological perspective, and he should put on his yarmulke put on his religious perspective and say he wants to save them from a bracha levatala, and he should tell them before, right away, as the baby's coming in, you know, I'm sorry, I see that your baby has, you know, whatever disfiguration, whatever unusual situation. As opposed to, if it's not a bracha levatala, let's let them make the bracha. And later on, they'll find out that it was a bracha, that it was not supposed to be recited, but they were happy at the beginning. And therefore, it's not a bracha levatala. That's an incredible nafkamina that Rav Zilberstein in source number 8 applies to the question that we have here in source number 7.
If a child is born with something,
with a deformity, you might not say Shechianu. That's certainly how Rav Zilberstein understands. I don't remember exactly, but I know there's Rav Zilberstein has a sefer called Toras HaYoledes. Toras HaYoledes is a fascinating sefer, which Rav Zilberstein is Rav Yashiv's son-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's brother-in-law. Because Rav Yashiv's daughter married Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he certainly has good yichus. And he, of course, is known to have the most incredible creative. He's very creative. Not just creative in Torah, but creative in stories. So when you hear some crazy, far-out stories in his Svarim, it's always fascinating. And in Sefer Torah HaYoledes, he has an entire sefer about the halachas of childbirth. And throughout the whole sefer, I think on the top of every single page, it has, keep in mind, the sefer is not halacha l'maisa. But it's all the halachas, and it's all, I don't know if it's the front page or the top of every page. So in there, he goes through every, you know, the way he talks about on if a person has to go to the hospital on Shabbos, for example, every way you could prevent an extra bit of Chil Shabbos by doing this, with the shini like this, and doing like this, and like that, and like this, and like that. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his Haskama to that sefer, says, basically, 80 pages of the sefer I disagree with, just because if people are going to have to be worried about all these pratim for these 80 pages that you're suggesting, then they're going to go crazy. You know, people are nervous when they're going to the hospital, so I disagree with basically half your sefer. That's what he wrote. That was his haskama. Meaning, that's common sense. I disagree with half your sefer. So, he wrote it in big letters, but it's a okay. So that's Rav Zilberstein. What?
Yeah.
No, he's an Adam Gadol. He's an Adam Gadol without question. But it's just it's interesting. Just yeah. Okay, so let's talk to see. What do you do in this case of the Hisaris Tshuva's situation when you find out that you lost the lottery? Nistapakti in source number 7 in the Rashi script. Otherwise known as Nitoni, so he sees in the newspaper, Shezacha Bagrala, fine. Okay, let's skip the first paragraph because that's just what the Shiloh is, which we spoke at already. Answers the son of the Ksav Sofer in Shiloh's Tshuva, the Sora's Tshuva, Rechaim Kuf, in the second paragraph. Hinei Lanius Daiti. Cave, what's the whole purpose of making a bracha of Shechianu? You're making a bracha, Mevarich al Hahana'a. At the point that you made the bracha, were you happy or were you not happy? When you thought you won $1.5 billion, were you happy or not? You most definitely were happy. On the second line, because he had kibemes hayolo simcha l'sha. Second. Let's go down. Then he talks about Hatov HaMeita, what's going to be if it's also going to be that your children will benefit if you become a billionaire. So chances are your children will also, you know, have nice clothing and nice toys and nice other things. So maybe there should also be a Hatov HaMeitiv, but that he doesn't go into there. Then look on the next paragraph, on the left side. Let's say, after you thought you were wrong, you realize, no, I was right and I really did win. So now do you have to make another Shechianu? Again, what happened? You thought you won, you said Shechianu. You realize, oh, you made a mistake with the numbers. He said, since you were happy for a good reason, you thought you won, it wasn't the bracha l'atala. Now he says, but wait, then you double-checked the newspaper, and he said, no, I did get it right. So this is a new simcha right now? Should you now see a second Shechianu? Because you thought you didn't have anything a minute ago. 5 minutes ago, you thought you had $1 billion. A minute later, you thought you had zero. Now, 5 minutes later, you think you have $1 billion again. So you make another shachar. Yutaka were right originally, and Yutaka won $1 billion. Kizacha bagrala. The first simcha was already lost because he thought you didn't get anything. So he brings a fascinating raya from Hilchos Kriya for an avel. The Rama, the Shulchan Aruch there in Yerodeya Simon Shemem, talks about an interesting case where a person does Kriya. He hears that a relative dies and he does Kriya. And he practices, he pravas a few days of Avelis. And then they come back, they again, you have to imagine, there's no telephones. You hear a message, you get a message from the town, 70 miles away, that a person's brother or relative died. So he does Rice's Kriya and he practices a few days of Avelis. And then somebody else comes from that town and says, what are you talking about? I just bought two horses from your brother-in-law just a few days ago. What do you mean he died? So he gets up from the Avelis and he says, okay, it was a mistake. They come back and say, no, the guy who brought the horses got the day wrong, and really, he did die as you originally had thought. So does the person have to write Kriya again? Does the person have to sit another full 7 days, or do the first days count? Took the deeper of what? No, it was 3 days later. You think that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about? No, it's talking about that you did some days of Avelis already. No, but it's quoting the Shulchan Aruch. Well, we could show you afterwards. Okay, so says the Shulchan Aruch, he does not have to do Kriya again, and the days that he sat already, which were correct, and then he thought they were wrong, and just because you thought that you missed it up, that messes it up? No. You had a mistaken thought that when you realized that when you thought that it was, that everybody was alive, but Taka, they were dead, and therefore the Kriya worked, and therefore the Kshiva also worked. And then he says, no, it's not a good Raya, because the Shiva, the Kriya that you did, that the person did originally, was a right Kriya. And the Avelis that they sat originally was a right Avelis. But here, maybe, once you thought, again, you won your $1 billion, then you thought you lost everything, and you're sad. When you now realize that you won the $1 billion, and you're now happy again, it's a new happiness. Maybe on that new happiness, you should make a new Shechianu. And therefore, maybe you can't bring a Raya from Kriya and Avelis. And therefore, he says, maybe it's not a good rhyme, maybe one would be able to make a second Shechianu when he realizes that he did get it right. Either way, the Ksav Sofer's son, Paskin, that it's not considered a Sebrach of Atal, because fourth, there is Simcha when you thought you won the lottery, even though you ended up not winning the lottery. And therefore, if you just want to see the Nafkamin, as I mentioned to you, the main one in terms of that, so let's see. Chashukei Chamed, this is Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. He talks about this very Shaila. Now, I just want to tell you, this Sefer that I'm quoting here, Chashukei Chemed, I never saw the Sefer in print. But it's a very geshmaka thing to know about. Why? Because on the Bar Ilan, on every daf, there's a link. Two, you could see the Rashi on that daf, and Tos on the daf, and the Rashi on that daf, and the Ritva on that daf, and the Chashukei Chemed on that daf. The Chashukei Chemed is super geshmak, little bits from Zilberstein, Halacha Lamaisa, like crazy shailas that apply to this daf. So if I'm ever looking at let's say I'm working on the sugya of Shechianu, when you hear something good, which is sourced in the Gemara and Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, when I clicked on Chashukei Chemed on Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, I see Geshmak Hashailas about the halachas of when you hear good news and saying Shechianu. That's how I found this. So it's just
a series of books. Actually, has one on Pesach. It's about this thing.
He hasn't, but it's out on Shas. It's in print on Shas.
I don't get the whole
Shas. I've never seen. I never saw it in print on Shas. It could be that it is. Yeah, it's Halina L'Shabbat. There's Tufcha Yabiu. There's Vaharevna. He has lots of svarim. There's dozens of lots of svarim. But here, he says, let's just look at what Rav Zilberstein said. He says four nafkaminas. If in this very simple question of somebody thought that they won the lottery and realized that they missed the Powerball numbers. Was it a bracha vatala? He says in source number 8, Yesh bazeh kama nafkaminas. First of all, does he have to do tshuva? Did he make a bracha vatala? Second of all, if you know that he read the numbers, that he's reading the numbers wrong, do you have to stop him from making the bracha in the first place? Thirdly, if you know that he messed the numbers up because you saw his ticket and you saw it doesn't match what the winning numbers are, could you answer amen? And then fourthly, he says the terrible story that I described to you a few minutes ago. If a doctor knows that a bracha shouldn't be recited because of some terrible genetic defect, should he tell the parents immediately so that they won't say this bracha levatala? Tshuva answers Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Look at the Shas of Tshuva, Sesoris Tshuva, which we just learned together, who says that it's not a bracha levatala, because when the time that you made the bracha, you were genuinely happy. Wrongly. But you were happy. You thought you were happy because you thought you won $1 billion. Right? They always say that the state of happiness is in the state of mind. City of happiness or something like that is in the state of mind. Right? So when are you happy? You're not happy because you're a billionaire. You're happy because you think you're a billionaire. So therefore, if you think you're a billionaire, you're happy. That's not a bracha vatala. And therefore, he says, if according to that psak of the Yisrael L'tshuva, then all these nafkaminas, it's not a bracha vatala. So therefore, you should be able to answer amen on it. You don't have to be monea somebody. And the doctor, in that terrible story in the delivery room, does not have to say anything because he's allowed to let the people experience their temporary happiness, their mistaken happiness, and they could say, get ahead, get along with, say that bracha. Let's just finish off. We're not going to have time to do everything tonight. We're not going to have time to talk about the birth of a baby, but let's at least talk about the birth of a grandchild. Says the Sefer HaChassidim. So again, Baruch Hashem, we have lots of grandfathers in our midst, and we've all had this experience and the tremendous joy and simcha of having a grandchild. Imagine you get to have nachas and you don't have to pay for it. I mean, you do have to pay for it, but only because you want to pay for it, not because you have to pay for it. Says the Sefer Chassidim. In Simen Tuf Tuf Mem Gimel, the source starts on top of page 3. Sefer Chassidim tells a story about a certain elderly person who had a son living in a different city. And Kishano Livno Ben. And similarly, when his daughter in some other town, when he heard that he had a daughter, a grandson in some other town, Hayimavarech Atov Hametiv. Amru Lo. Halo Lo Amru Ela Im Nolad Lo Ben Laatzmo. As we'll learn hopefully next week, or maybe in a few minutes or next week, you only make a Shechianu if, or Atov Hametiv, we'll talk about that soon, you only make a bracha if you have a baby, not if your daughter or son has a baby, if you have a grandchild. Omar answers this Zakein quoted by the Sefer Chassidim, Afilu nola litzadik ben, vani ohava mepnei tzidkosav, ani mevarech. Even if it wouldn't be my grandchild, even if there'd be some tzaddik who I love, a person who I love dearly, he's such a righteous person, and I hear that he had his child, I would also make a bracha of either shachyanu or hatov hametiv. That is the sheet of the Sefer Chassidim that one should recite a bracha, not only for a grandchild, but even if somebody who they love very, very, very dearly, a great tzaddik who they love dearly, they should make a bracha on the birth. Where does this come from? Should we do 5 more minutes or we should stop here? 5 more minutes. Present's up. Okay. So let's see some background for this idea of saying a shechianah for a baby, and a hatov hametiv if it's a boy. Where does this come from? The Gemara and the Mishnah in Brachos, on source number 10 in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet, the Mishnah says, Bona bayis chadash, v'kona kein chadashim, omer shechianu. The Gemara commenting on that Mishnah, 5 blot later, Nun Testament Beis, in source number 11, explains a little bit more clearly. Tanya, Bona bayis chadash, v'kona kein chadashim, you say shechianu. However, if it's not just the house for yourself and clothing or utensils for yourself, but shalom v'shel acherim, it's for you as well as for other people, omer hatov hametiv, like we mentioned earlier. Tanya says, continues the Gemara, k'tzara shel davar, the point of the matter is, al shalom hu omer bar shachyar v'kiyamanu, Ashulov, Ashul Chaveiro, if it's for you and others, then you recite Hatova Meitiv. Frak the Gemara, V'cholheich d'les l'achbina ba'adei, lo mevarech Hatova Meitiv, you say that if you're by yourself, you shouldn't say Shechianu? That when you're by yourself, I'm sorry, you shouldn't say Hatova Meitiv, you only say Hatova Meitiv when you're with other people? What do you mean? But we have a brisa where a person is somewhere, not with his wife, but he's somewhere, he's in the base medrash or something, and they come and tell him, by the way, Yod Yishto Zachar, Omer Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. I think, who's this a story? Was this a story with Rebbe Chanan? There's some incredible maisa. I think it might have been with Rebbe Chanan. Rebbe Chanan was sitting by in Radin, he was learning by the Chavetz Chaim, and he was learning by Chavrusa with, who is this Chavrusa in Radin? Another one of the Gedolim, I don't remember who it was. Rebbe Chaim Ozer, thank you. And somebody comes over and says to the Rebbe Chanan, your wife had a baby 500 miles away, because after they got married, he went to learn in Yeshiva 500 miles away, and he'd come back, I guess, you know, for Yom Tovim or something, for Pesach and Sukkot. So, as far as I understand, he got up, he fulfilled the Gemara, he said, Hatov HaMeitiv, sat down, and continued learning. Right? Like halacha requires. So, what? I don't think he made it back for the bris, nor do I think he brought his daughter-in-law and son from Eretz Yisrael back for the bris. I think he just... Yeah. Fine. So, says the Gemara, Yalder, he set the check to pay for the mall, because the father has to pay for the mall. Fine. Yalder ishto zacha, baro mer baro chato amedi, even if he's not with his wife, he's by himself, and he hears that his wife had a baby, he says atav ametiv. The Gemara says, no, even if he's by himself, but his wife is, he should still say Hatov HaMeitiv, because both are happy. Why? Because it was a boy. We'll see why that's important soon, why only for a boy you say Hatov HaMeitiv. Continues the Gemara Brachos Nuntes, I'm going to finish in just a moment or two. Toshma, Meis Aviv V'hu Yorsho. This is the case that we spoke about, but this is the Gemara, that's the source. What happens if a person finds out that Hashem Yerachim, his father, died, and he's now going to inherit his father. V'tchil omer baruch dayin ha'emetz on his father's petira. L'vasof omer baruch hatov ha'meitiv. And the Gemara is asking, wait a second, but if it's just you, why are you even saying hatov ha'meitiv? It's just you inheriting. To which the Gemara responds, no, it's because that's where there are brothers involved. That's the source in the Gemara for the concept of Shechianu and hatov ha'meitiv. Says the Rashba, when a person asks the Rashba, Shas Chuvas Rashba Chelik Dalet Simanai in Zion, we know that there's this Gemara that we haven't seen yet that says if you see a friend you haven't seen in a long time, you say Shechianu. Do you say Shechianu or Hatov HaMeitiv? And similarly, do you say Hatov HaMeitiv when your wife has a baby? Now keep in mind, what did the Gemara just say? Yes. So in essence, the Rashba is being asked a question that's an explicit Gemara. So obviously the Shoel was not so intelligent. What was remarkable is that it's going to seem in a line, I'm scared to say the words, but it seems like the Rashba was equally unintelligent. I'm sorry to say those words, but you'll see why I'm saying those in a minute. Says the Rashba, we don't say Hatov HaMeitiv all the time. We don't make brachas Shechianu and Hatov HaMeitiv here and there. And look what he says. Lo b'chol dar shanana hu v'achem imo v'reich Hatov HaMeitiv. When do you make Shechianu or Hatov HaMeitiv? El b'dor sheyesh lo to'eles v'hanah v'la'acherim imo, and other people benefit with you. Just because you hear good news, that's not a reason to say Hatov HaMeitiv. It has to be some tangible benefit. For example, there's Yerida's Geshamim, that there's really good rain and for your crop, or Yerusha's Hakrovim, and there are numerous people benefiting from this. Aval b'hanah levad, but just for the hana of looking at pretty fruit, if there's no tangible benefit, you don't make a bracha. And he proves it. He says, "Ubeledas." Skip to the bottom. He says, "Why do we have beledas ishto zachar? Yesh la'av la'em hanas to'eles." What benefit? Hearing the good news that you had a baby is not a reason to make a bracha. Hearing the news, Baruch Hashem, I have a baby, is not the mechayev. What's the mechayev of saying Shechianu when you hear you have a baby? Says the Rashba, Ubeleidas ishto zach. We'll finish with this. Yesh la'av la'im hanas to'elas. Firstly, tabli chutzro liyado mar lekvura. You have somebody who could bury you, somebody to take care of you, someone to say kaddish for you. Va'od shuki yerech avaim, and you have somebody to, you have somebody who is going to give you a tangible benefit. So it's for that tangible benefit that you're making the bracha, not for the good news that a person is making the bracha. Now, the problem is, one second. Based on this, and we'll finish, based on this, the Be'er Halacha says the following. When a person has a grandson, are they happy with the news, or do they have the tangible benefit of having a grandchild? Until now, we were assuming that when you have good news, you make a bracha on the good news. What did the Rashba just finish saying? That you're not making a bracha on good news, you're making a bracha only on the tangible benefit. And what is the tangible benefit? That you, someone's going to say kaddish, someone's going to bury you, somebody's going to do this or that for you, or help you.
That's good news.
But that's not, the mechayev is not the news. The mechayev is the benefit that you're getting, that you're thanking Hashem for the benefit. You're thanking Hashem for somebody who's going to say kaddish for you, not for the fact that you had a simcha in the family.
Where do you see that?
That's what the Rashba says. That's the Rashba's understanding.
It's good news that he knows somebody's going to bury him. That's good news.
The Rashba doesn't hold like that. I hear what you're saying. The Rashba says nishtaza. The Rashba says it's not for the benefit. It's not for the simcha. It's for the benefit. It's for the simcha that you have from tangible benefit. And therefore, concludes the Be'er Halacha, that Sefer Chassidim that we started with 20 minutes ago, who says that you should make a bracha for grandchildren, does not fit the requirements of the Rashba. The whole reason why you say a bracha for a child is not because of the good news. It's because of tangible benefits. And for a grandchild, you don't have that tangible benefit of somebody to take care of you. And therefore, says the Be'er Halacha, a person therefore should not follow that Sefer Chassidim who says that you can make a bracha for a grandchild, and therefore la halacha, since we haven't found it in other sources, we don't have any Gemaras or other sources that say you should say a bracha for a grandchild. Halacha ma'is leber halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not recite a bracha for a grandchild. We should all be zocha to have simchas and to have children and grandchildren who are healthy and only simchas.